Hey, there he is.
Here I am.
Now
let's go
hit
before I break something else.
I know, seriously.
Oh my lord.
That was all Kai's fault.
It is all my fault. Whew. Hey everybody, I'm Kai Rosedahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Yes, we are 2 minutes late for those of you on the YouTube and the live stream. I apologize. That's my fault. We're trying to do radio on spit and billing while you're here. Also, I've had like 4 hours of sleep and I got up stupidly early to fly back from the East Coast. So anyway, Make Me Smart. That's where we are.
That's a bless your little heart. That's a bless your little heart right there.
Yes.
Yes. Right. And I am Kimberly Adams with my Midwestern / sometimes Southern idioms. Thank you everyone for joining us on the live stream for Economics on Tap. So much fun. This is our weekly happy hour where we do the news. We have our drinks. We have some games. We have a Jasper hanging out as usual in the background. And Kai, what are you drinking on your very little sleep?
I am having a large mug of coffee. Thank you very much. Literally got home 15 minutes ago, went straight to the coffee machine, and poured myself a cuppa. Cup of Joe.
Man, that's a lot of movement in a very short amount of time.
Yes. What about you? What are you having?
So I think I mentioned to you that I'm going to try to do mocktails, and I'm landing on that for the time being, every first Friday. So this one I got from a little book that came with one of my de-alcoholized spirits. And so this is a spiritless Jalisco 55 ginger margarita, which has basically spiritless tequila, lime juice, horse's kick ginger syrup, agave syrup, and ice. So that's what I'm drinking.
How is it?
It's very good. I like it.
Good.
It's actually quite tasty. Yeah. It's good, a win. I would drink it again. Yeah. And people commenting on my round ice cube. Yes, it's round.
Oh, you have a round ice cube too?
I do have a... Do you have a round ice cube also? No, you have a mug.
No, I've got a cup of coffee.
It's roundish though.
It is round. Got this in Detroit actually at a... I want to call it like a ceramics foundry, but it's a ceramics place called Puabic. If you ever go to Detroit, go to Puabic Ceramics. It's super cool stuff. Super cool stuff. Totally. I did not get compensated for that plug. They just do good stuff. All right. So here's my news. Two things, completely unrelated, but there's a degree of head shaking about them both. So President Biden today at the White House decorated retired Colonel United States Army Paris Davis with the Medal of Honor for service in Vietnam nearly 60 years ago. So that in itself is awesome and cool. But here's why I bring it up. Colonel Davis's paperwork. So remember, this was 60 years ago, right? 60 years ago. Colonel Davis's paperwork was lost twice. That happens a lot with black soldiers. And it just has to be pointed out. It just has to be pointed out. Now, why did it get lost? Well, I think we can all understand why it got lost. And I just, it's despicable. If you read this man's citation, I read all these Medal of Honor citations when they come because they're always just awe-inspiring and terrifying all at once. And the idea that this man had to wait 60-something years for the honor that he is so richly deserving of, which, by the way, all of them, Medal of Honor winners, say it wasn't for me, it was for the men I served with. It's just despicable that it got lost. So that's item number one. Item number one.
Can I just read a little bit of this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Even after a grenade blasted off part of his trigger finger and several other soldiers were shot down, he kept fighting. When reinforcements arrived and he was ordered to evacuate, he refused to leave before saving his medic. All four of the Special Forces soldiers made it out alive.
Yep. Yep. Also, one of the first black officers, if not the first black officer, to command a Special Operations Unit, which is also a big deal. If you, you know, sort of the military hierarchy of badassery, if you will. So that's that. And that happened today at the White House, and good for Colonel Davis. Here's the other story that has been burbling around now for a couple of weeks, and I haven't brought it up because I always got distracted or whatever. There was something else to talk about. But this spate of child labor stories, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? There were 13-year-olds cleaning meatpacking plants overnight. Are you kidding me that this is happening today? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Look, we'll put the New York Times story on the show page. Lawmakers are getting involved. But if all you have to do is Google child labor and you will find all of these stories. It's incredible. And it is absolutely mind-boggling to me that this is happening in the United States of America in 2023. I can't believe it.
I keep thinking about all those kids that were separated from their parents at the border.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the under the Trump administration. I believe some of it also happened under the Obama administration as well, if I'm not mistaken. And I just wonder, some of those kids are still lost in the system. And you have to imagine that some of these kids get trafficked. Some of them just are lost to wherever. And who knows where they end up? It's pretty horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So,
okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess we're going to be pretty down on this one.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Mine is, I imagine there's a big chunk of the country that's actually really happy about this one. Walgreens has said it will not distribute abortion pills in several states where abortion is legal. Where it is legal. Denying the access, I'm reading from the Washington Post here, denying access to federally approved medications amid political and legal threats from anti-abortion movement and state Republican leader. This is in Alaska, Iowa, Kansas, and Montana. And I just think we should take a moment to just call this what it is, which is that legal products and legal medical services are being banned for political reasons and blocked by a corporation. And we talked about this the other week. We were saying, where's corporate America on some of these issues now? And they've really stepped back and said, we are not getting into these political debates anymore. And I think this is one of these latest moments. I mean, it's not really not getting into the debate because they are taking a position, but they just don't want the flack for it. And, you know, they're basically choosing to keep operation, keep operating.
Right. And I think also they're afraid because even though it's legal in these 20 states where Walgreens is not going to offer this product, I'm sure they're fearful of action and attacks from the states where it's not. And like not just the political attacks, but also legal attacks, right? Because, you know, you can see the Texas Attorney General who is – well known for these kinds of tactics, saying, well, look, you've got an outlet in San Antonio. That makes you a Texas company, and we're going to go after you for that reason. You know? Yeah.
It will be very interesting to see what some of the other pharmacy chains do and also what a company like Amazon will do because Amazon has its own online pharmacy now. Are you going to stop all the Amazon boxes coming into your state? And I mean, we've talked about sort of interrupting the postal service and things being shipped before and what kind of problems that might have. Anyway, lots of calls in the YouTube chat for people to boycott Walgreens a la Hobby Lobby, the way that some people choose not to shop there for political purposes and other companies. I mean, yeah, people vote with their dollars, but I just do think it's worth like taking the moment to say, like, this is what is happening. This political pressure it goes both ways. We saw political pressure forcing companies to take action on, you know, diversity after the murder of George Floyd. And it can go the other way, too. You know, so going in a completely different direction. Super, super fascinating, long, long read in Politico. It's a good one to sit down with for the weekend. About fisheries in Alaska. We talked on this show, I guess it was last year, about the complete collapse of like the Alaskan crab fishing season and how like they couldn't get it anymore. Well, this article looks into sort of not just the collapse of the crab fisheries, but also other things like halibut. So I'm just going to read a little bit of this political piece. Halibut wasn't the only so-called directed fishery to experience such a catastrophic drop. The crab fleet was mostly stuck in port for 2 years This year, both fisheries were closed. And at the same time, subsistence and sport salmon fishing on the state's two largest rivers has been shut down because of dwindling salmon runs. There is one fishing industry that has not suffered. The fleet of nearly 250 trawl boats that catch groundfish, species such as pollock and yellowfin sole that congregate on or near the ocean floor, have recorded banner seasons, permitted to bring in between 3 and 4 billion pounds of fish annually for worldwide distribution. What makes this inequity especially jarring is that the trawlers, some as long as football fields, which drag vast nets along the sea bottom, also scoop up millions of pounds of species they don't actually want, and they throw most of it overboard, no matter how valuable it might otherwise be.
Oh, wow.
So you have all of these fishing industries getting destroyed for the benefit of, it seems, the one. And, you know, this is why we don't have the deadliest catch anymore. But there's a lot in here about the indigenous fishermen who have fishing rights in this area and aren't able to exercise those rights because with the groundfish gone and all of this bycatch being thrown away, it's really just destroying the systems. Anyway, it's very long, but very interesting. And even though it may seem random to do a long read on Alaskan fisheries, it all matters. So
it all does matter. Everything matters, right? You can do an interesting, creative long read on pretty much anything. Anyway,
yeah.
There you go.
All right. That's it for the News Fix. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, we will play a round of Half Full, Half Empty. This is Half Full, Half Empty, which is our weekly game hosted by the one, the only Drew Jostad. And we are going to take some news topics, and Drew is going to give them to us. And we, along with you for the last questions, are, I know, I can't even blame the booths this time. We're going to tell you how we're feeling about them. Half full being on the positive note, half empty being a little on the negative side. Drew, save me from myself, please.
Are you half full or half empty on the snow in SoCal?
Oh man, it's crazy. I was flying in this morning and there's so much snow in the mountains. The snow actually in the immediate Los Angeles mountains is starting to melt, which is a little sad because it looked really cool. But coming over the San Bernardino Mountains on the way into LAX, crazy, just crazy. I'm half full. I'm all the way full. It's our water supply. It's everything. And yes, there are people up there who are stuck. Then the California Highway Patrol is going out to dig them out. You know, they've been stuck in their houses for days, sometimes without food or medicines. But overall, half full. Overall.
I'm going to go half full because, I mean, we spent most of the last year talking about how y'all need water and snowpack. Yeah. So that. Half full.
Okay. Half full or half empty on the new screen time monitoring and parental controls that TikTok is adding to minors' accounts.
Oh, this is the hour thing, right?
Yeah, for ages, I think, 13 to 17, it's a 60-minute daily limit that they can then bypass it just by entering a passcode, I think.
Well, then what? I don't know. It's all
they have this in China
so
already, don't they?
So, do they? I don't know.
I think I so. Know.
I would say I'm half full, but why an hour? An hour's a lot of time. We can make it like 20 minutes.
An hour over the course of the day, maybe, you know, not so bad.
Yeah.
I'm just half because like the idea is fine, but these kids are way more tech savvy than their parents that I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. So sure. You know, they're going through the process, you know, half-half. Yes.
Yeah, it's a Band-Aid, right? It's not an actual solution. It's a Band-Aid.
Okay, half full or half empty. The FTC is moving to ban online therapy company BetterHelp from sharing its users' mental health information.
I'm half full, but just like so traumatized that they were doing it in the first place. You know, that's one of these companies that's constantly advertising online and on podcasts and all these things. And, you know, it's grim out there. Half full, they're ideally not doing it anymore.
It's kind of remarkable they were doing it to begin with, but half full, obviously. I mean, holy cow, right? Are you kidding me?
I mean, I'm guessing they probably didn't admit wrongdoing in this, right?
Of course
not.
In
the settlement. They usually don't, so. Yeah. It'll be in the show notes.
There you go.
Are you half full or half empty on shrinkflation?
So shrinkflation obviously is when they sell an 8-ounce yogurt container for $1, and then 6 months later they're selling a 6-ounce yogurt container for $1. I did a really interesting interview actually about a month or two ago with a guy who kind of really keeps track of shrinkflation. Totally interesting. I'm opposed to shrinkflation. I think it's stealthy, and I think if you're going to raise prices, just raise freaking prices. Don't, you know, try to scam us.
Same.
That's me. Yeah.
All right. So this is the last one, right?
Okay.
Correct.
All right. So those of you in the YouTube live chat, get ready to weigh in with your votes on half full, half empty. And Drew, take it away.
Are you half full or half empty on going to a restaurant with a friend or partner and you both order the same thing?
I was amazed how much traction this story got. So
oh my
I guess
God.
Go.
So why don't you ahead. Give people the background as they vote? Give people the background.
So apparently, the president and the first lady went out to dinner somewhere and ordered the exact same dish. Now, and one would imagine that any other couple might order two different things, and maybe you might sample each other's food, as opposed to ordering two full dishes of the same thing. And lots of people have thoughts.
Oh my God, so many thoughts. So many thoughts. Holy cow. Holy cow.
Just of all of the things. Oh, this is interesting. Yeah. Debbie Donovan says in the chat, is it a safety thing? Maybe, you know, in terms of the food that they could control getting to them, the one dish,
no,
I doubt it.
That can't be. Secret Service has been testing presidential food for a really long time. So Josh Barrow wrote a really interesting newsletter about this topic. I will dig it out of my email somewhere, and I'll send it to Marissa and the gang, and they can figure out a way to put it in the show notes. Because Josh had some real thoughts. And a whole analysis of ordering in a restaurant, which is maybe more than you want to hear. But I thought it was interesting anyway. Bonds, come on in. Come on. Sorry, I got to let the dog in.
There's a take there's a Twitter take about this that might be worth sharing. Anjali Bot on Twitter says, people are going on about them ordering the same thing, but if you've had the ragu from this restaurant,
well,
you would understand.
Yeah, that was one of the things, right, is that at this restaurant, it is the primo. It's like the best in Washington of the rigatoni with whatever the heck it was sauce. So, I don't know. All right, Kimberly.
I'm going to go half full. I actually think it's kind of cute.
Yeah, I'm all the way full because order what you want. And if your dining partner wants the same thing, so be it. Now, I should tell you, in full disclosure, I'm really bad at sharing food. Until I met and married my wife, I was not a food sharer. Now I am by coercion, and I think it was in our wedding vows too. But my wife's a big one. Ooh, can I have a bite? Would you like a bite of mine? And I'm like, no, I ordered this because I want to eat it. But here, sure, sweetie, you have a bite of mine. Anyway, and
so
look,
makes marriages
I appreciate
work. Compromise.
That's right. Compromise. That's right. But look, if you want the same thing, then buy the same thing.
All right. The poll results are in: half full, 64%, half empty at 35%, and the half fulls have it. We are a sharing bunch of people here at Make Me Smart.
You bet. Lots of love for my theory, by the way, on sharing food. Lots of love for me. That's all I'm saying.
More love for Jasper,
That's all
though.
I'm saying. Yeah. Although Evil Genius 007 did say, Kai not good at sharing? Shocked am I. Anyway. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. All right. Okay. So we are done, I believe. Are we done? We are done, yes.
No, we're not, because I want to put out a plug for my little thing.
Yeah, do a plug.
On March the 8th, which is International Women's Day, I am going to be hosting a virtual event with a couple of the other reporters and some of our producers at Marketplace who are women. And we are going to be talking about how Marketplace includes a lot of voices of women, and we try to amplify the voices of women in business and economics. I mean, most of your weekly wraps are pretty much all women on your Fridays, and we definitely work really hard to make sure that we include perspectives that aren't often included in business and economics coverage. So we're going to be talking about that. It's going to be a live stream. We're going to have Rima Kreis and also Meredith Gerritsen, who is the senior producer of Marketplace Morning Report, and we'll hear from some of the women that we've turned to over the years to be experts on Marketplace and how that has impacted their lives and careers. So I hope that you all can join me for coffee, breakfast, lunch, or whatever works in your time zone. It's going to be on March 8th at noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific. Maybe we'll get another Jasper appearance in there. You can register at marketplace.org/womensday, or we'll have the link in the show notes.
What's the jingling? Is that your... that's Jasper.
That's his bell.
There you go. Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergseeker. Today's episode was engineered by Jake Cherry. Drew Jostad wrote the theme music for Half Full, Half Empty. Antonio Barreras is our intern.
The team behind our Friday game is Mel Rosenberg, Emily McCune, and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our acting senior producer, and Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts, and Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital. Maxwell says you are fantastic for the near all-nighter.
Yeah, I'm too old for this. That's what I am.
You did it.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.